Rudimentary principle of the world number 9. Motherhood is a secondary choice for women. Well, we better pray about this. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to get through this morning and see if we can set the world straight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for making us, as you have, men and women, and for ordering human society as you have, for a family to consist of a father and a mother and children. I pray that as we study today, we will see this is a divine plan. And in spite of what this world is trying to promote, teach us, Lord, to honor what you have ordered and to hold it high and promote it. Help us to understand as you teach us your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. To say that something is secondary is to say that it is of lower rank of importance, that it is not to be preferred in relation to other things. Thus, to say that motherhood is a secondary choice for women is to say that other things that women might choose are better choices than being a mother. Oh yes, the world does think this way. A woman named Amy Glass is a feminist blogger. Back in January, she wrote an article that created quite a stir. The title of the article is, "I Look Down on Young Women with Husbands and Kids and I'm Not Sorry." I'm going to read a portion of it. It's a little unpleasant, but it will help us to understand the way the world thinks. She says, quote, "Do people really think that a stay-at-home mom is really on equal footing with a woman who works and takes care of herself? Having kids and getting married are considered life milestones. We have baby showers and wedding parties as if it's a huge accomplishment and cause for celebration. These aren't accomplishments. They are actually super easy tasks. Literally anyone can do them. They are the most common thing ever in the history of the world. They are by definition average. And here's the thing, why are we settling for average? If women can do anything, why are we still content with applauding them for doing nothing?" Did you know as a mother and a wife you're doing nothing? That's pretty strong language. Do you hear what they're saying? "I want to have a shower for a woman when she backpacks on her own through Asia, gets a promotion, or lands a dream job. Not when she stays inside the box and does the house and kids thing, which is the path of least resistance. The dominant cultural voice will tell you these are things," that is backpacking and working, "you can do with a husband and kids, but as I've written before, that's a lie, it's just not reality. You will never have the time, energy, freedom, or mobility to be exceptional if you have a husband and kids." Wow. "I hear women talk about how hard it is to raise kids and manage a household all the time. I never hear men talk about this." Well, that might be. You just try trading places with a woman one time. It's because women secretly like to talk about how hard managing a household is so they don't have to explain their lack of real accomplishments. Men don't care to manage a household. They are conditioned to think stupid things like that are not important. This is really strong language. So what are women supposed to do? Think like a man? Women will be equal with men when we stop demanding that it be considered equally important to do housework and real work. So all your housework, I'm sorry, that's not real work. That's just not real work. They are not equal. Doing laundry will never be as important as being a doctor or an engineer or building a business. Wow. On the other side of this, an advertising agency in Boston posted a job description and then conducted what appeared to be real interviews. The people thought they were actually part of a focus group and they were paid a small amount for their time. This was the job description and included these things, but there were other things, but included this, not limited to this. Must be able to work 135 hours a week. Ability to work overnight. Willingness to forego any breaks. Work mostly standing up or bending down. Must be able to lift up to 75 pounds on a regular basis. PhD in psychology or real life equivalent. Unlimited patience. Understanding of finance. Understanding of medicine. Selflessly driven. Valid driver's license. CPR certification and Red Cross membership. What was that a job description for? Mother. In the interviews, the interviewer informed the candidates that you can never sit down. You'll be working 135 hours plus a week, and there are no breaks. One of the poor candidates asked, "Is this even legal?" Is motherhood real work? I have written in my notes here, duh. But there is a growing worldview that motherhood is not that big a deal and does not deserve to be honored. Would you look at Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11? God predicted it. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. That's a sad statement. What really gives motherhood value is the fact that God commissioned motherhood right from the very beginning in creation. God commissioned motherhood. Would you go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. He uses three words here that are very important. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Not one of those words has to do with cultivating a garden. That comes late. That's in another part. Over in chapter 2, you can see that. All three of those words have to do with having children and filling up the earth. Let me demonstrate that. The word "be fruitful," Genesis chapter 28, verse 3. Let's go to that one. Let's back. Genesis 17, 6. Let's do the Genesis 17, verse 6. This is God's promise to Abraham. Abraham. He says, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And what does he mean by that? And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Now, chapter 28 and verse 3. Where he says to Jacob, and God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful. What does he mean by fruitful? And multiply thee that thou mayest be a multitude of people. Well, he uses the word multiply here. He also uses the word multiply back in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 10. This is in a statement made to Hagar, where he says, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. He's talking about having multitudes of children through the generations. And the word replenish in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 7. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. That's your word replenish, replenished. God intended from the very beginning that the world be full of people. Now, how does that happen? Mothers have to have children. Regarding Eve in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20, he said, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. All of us come from mothers. Job said in Job chapter 1 and verse 21, naked came I out of my mother's womb. You realize that's how each and every one of us got here. We come from mothers. Mothers bear children, and this is God's plan for filling the earth. To multiply, to be fruitful, and to replenish the earth, to fill it up. And even the eternal Son of God came into this world through the womb of a mother. We are being told that the world is overpopulated. Have you heard that? I want to address this because it's directly related to this matter of God's commission to man to be fruitful, to multiply, and to replenish the earth. The teaching that the world is overpopulated is in direct defiance to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Here's something from the World Population Balance. It's amazing how many organizations there are in the world. There's another one of those organizations. I guess they are for promoting world population balance in the world. Well, this is what they say. Current global population of over 7 billion is already 2 to 3 times higher than the sustainable level. Did you know that we're actually using up more resources than the earth can possibly produce? Did you know? That's amazing. They say Europeans use only about half the resources of Americans on average, but Europeans consume far more resources than any of the poorest 2 billion people in the world. So I guess we really consume a lot. It's true, we do consume a lot, but is it more than the world can sustain? Currently, over 7 billion of us are consuming about 50% more resources than the earth is producing. Well, if that's true, where are we getting it from? Is it coming from Mars? I don't know. Maybe they have already started cultivating the planet. Where is it all coming from? Is this true? Is the world overpopulated? Well, consider this. The land mass on the earth is 32.2 billion acres. That's 4.6 acres for every person that's on the earth right now. Only 3% of the earth's landmass has been urbanized. 40% of the landmass is given to farming. That's 13 billion acres. 3/4 of that is used in crop production and the other 1/4 for raising livestock. Another 22% of the earth is farmable, but is either forested or protected land. You know, you notice how much land is starting to be protected and unusable? That gives us a total of 20 billion acres of farmable land on earth. So I was wondering, how many people can live off of an acre of food? And I found numbers anywhere from 1 to 8 people. So some say it takes a whole acre to feed a person. Some say you can feed 8 people off of an acre. I don't know which is true. Well, let's consider either one. Let's say that it takes a whole acre to feed one person, and we have 20 billion acres of farmable land on the earth. How many people could the earth sustain? 20 billion people. But let's say that 1 acre could sustain 8 people. How many people could the earth sustain? 160 billion people. Just because somebody puts something in print does not necessarily mean that it's true. Do you know? When they say that we are consuming 50% more resources than the earth can produce, that doesn't mean that's true. You have to be careful what you believe, the things that they put out there. And then there's this. Did you know that 40% of all the food in the United States goes uneaten? We actually throw away $165 billion in food every year in the United States of America. And on top of that, the government is paying farmers to not farm on 30 million acres of land. In 2012, that was the number. This matter of saying that motherhood is a secondary choice for women is related to the belief that the world is overpopulated. There is an article in the Huffington Post, May 8th, 2014, just a couple of days ago. It was about a woman who chose to film her abortion. Did you hear about it? And she was all smiling and happy and promoting how wonderful it is to have an abortion. And in the article, it says she isn't celebrating abortion. She's simply demystifying a procedure that most people have been conditioned to avoid talking about. And by doing so, removing all the shame and fear associated with. See, they want to remove all the shame and fear associated with abortion because they want people to have abortions. Why? The simple facts are these. 1 out of 3 women will have an abortion in their lifetimes. The overwhelming majority, 85%, this is part of that article in the Huffington Post. Overwhelming majority, 85% of those procedures are performed on unmarried women, women who most likely would have been forced to raise a child on their own. Does this overpopulated world really need unwanted children? Do you catch what's in there? This overpopulated world. We have to discourage women from actually having children because our world is overpopulated. Would you go to Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18? Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be, what? Inhabit it. Why did God make the earth? He made it to be inhabited. And he told mankind from the very beginning, be fruitful, have a lot of children, multiply, not just add, multiply, and replenish the earth, fill it up. For some of you that have actually flown in an airplane and flew across the country, from the East Coast to the West Coast, you undoubtedly have flown over a lot of land that is uninhabited. Have you noticed how much empty land there is out there? You remember the statistic I read earlier a little bit? Only 3% of the land mass of the earth has been urbanized. That means only the cities only make up 3% of the land mass. There is lots of land in this world and lots of places for people to live, and God, you see it in print in his word, intended for the earth to be inhabited. And how does that come about? By women bearing children and being mothers. You see, motherhood is a divine institution, and motherhood is a primary choice for women, which women themselves ought to honor, and for which they ought to be honored. And thus we have Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Do you recognize that address, Exodus chapter 20? What is in Exodus chapter 20? Why, this is the Ten Commandments. Now, what are the Ten Commandments? In law, there are statutory laws and there are case laws. Statutory laws are the laws which establish foundational principles for human society upon which cases in courts are considered. And then when courts make decisions, those things become matters of case law. Statutory laws are the primary principles upon which human society is ordered. And this Ten Commandments are God's primary statutory laws. These are the ten big laws of God. He could have chosen a lot of different things to include in these Ten Commandments. He chose these ten, and one of them is the fifth commandment in verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. God intends, as we're focusing on mothers today, in a few weeks we'll focus on fathers, but today we're focusing on mothers. God intended by statutory commandment that we honor mothers, that we honor our mothers. Let me show you how high of a priority this is for God. Would you go over to Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 to 4? Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 to 4. And God is detailing now more in the realm of case law as he gets into some very detailed statements in some of these chapters, but reflecting upon the statutory laws that God has given. He says in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And it appears to me, according to the context, that the things that he says following this indicate how a person shall be holy. And in verses 3 and 4, he gives us three different things, ways in which we are to be holy, because God is holy. And the number one in verse 3, ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. Number 2, keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. And number 3, turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. Look at the level of importance of honoring and fearing your mother and your father. It is equivalent to keeping God's Sabbaths. And you know how important that was to God in the Old Testament. That was a paramount. And turning away from idols. This matter of honoring mother is of the most high level of importance and priority in the mind of God. Thus he sets a serious consequence for those who fail to comply. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20, he says, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. In other words, it's a sin to fail to honor your mother and your father. And the end of unrepentant sinners is, well, you know where they go. This is not just an Old Testament matter. It's also given to us in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Having children is so far from being secondary. It is actually called by God a reward. In Psalm 127 in verse 3, we read it earlier. Psalm 127 and verse 3, God says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Folks, we need to understand that God does want families to have children. And if families are blessed with multiple children, that is the Lord's reward. We must not take the attitude of the world that if you're going to have children, only have one or two. Or 1.8, or how many ever there is. I don't know. Well, is it 1.8 or 2.1 or whatever? I don't know. If God decides to give a family a lot of children, we should rejoice with them. Don't look down the... Don't go to them and say, how are you going to pay for all these? Don't say things. That's an attitude of the world. We should thank the Lord with a family that has a lot of children. For if he chooses to give children to someone, and remember, it's God who opens and closes the womb. And he does close the womb. And if he chooses to do that, then he has something else for us to do. But if he opens the womb, then thank the Lord for his reward. And honor that. In fact, in Psalm 128, in verse 3, it says, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. Remember the word fruitful from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28? It's God's intention that mankind be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Fill it up. There's room for lots more. It's possible for us to grow a lot more food than we're growing. We used to have a garden in our yard. We don't have one now for various reasons, but there's room there to have a garden. We could grow more food in our yard if we needed to. There's lots of places to grow food that we're not growing food. The earth can't sustain more than 2 billion people? What is that? It is a matter of defying God. If God has chosen or will choose any of you ladies to be a mother, never think of that role as mother as secondary to anything else any other woman in this world does. Motherhood is a divine commission. Motherhood is a divine reward. And mothering children is one of the most honorable things a woman could ever do. And it is real work. Mothers should be honored also all their life long. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22 says this: Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Now, she deserves to be honored her entire life. Proverbs 31 verse 28 says, Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Husbands, you should do special things for your wives who are the mothers of your children. And not just on Mother's Day. Although, don't miss that one. Don't just leave it to your children to praise her. You praise her too. And if you have a mother, anyone here not have a mother? We all have had our mother. She may be in glory now. Mine is in glory, but you can still honor her. If she prayed for you that you would live for the Lord, then live for the Lord, and that honors her. Honor your mothers. This is one of the most special things a person in this world could ever do. Something that we men never will have the privilege of experiencing. Although we can be fathers, and there's something special about that too, but there's something unique in each role. And there's something unique about being a mother, and if God gives you that privilege, you are worthy of honor. And don't let anyone in this world, for whatever reason, convince you that motherhood is not special. Because as far as God is concerned, it is very, very special. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for teaching us the truth. Help us to honor the truth. Lord, for those who are mothers among us, I trust that you will give them that honor that they deserve. Help them to feel very special, especially today, but every day. Help us to honor families, whether they have one or 20 children. And help us to honor our mothers as you want us to do. And may we be a testimony to people in this world that just don't get it. That through the light that we shine from your word, they may hear and come to believe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.